Next case for argument, PNC Bank versus Spencer. Ms. Nora.
Good morning, Your Honors. Thank you for giving Sheila Spencer and her attorney, Wendy Allison Nora, an opportunity to address the issue of why Ms. Spencer should not have been required to pay PNC's attorney's fees for her removal of a state court foreclosure action within 30 days of the determination that the real party in interest in this case is the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, or Freddie Mac. According to 28 U.S. Code section 1447B3, a party may remove an action within 30 days of the determination that federal court jurisdiction exists. For a number of years, Ms. Spencer had been trying to ascertain who the real party in interest was. She believed for a number of years that it was an entity known as FNMC, a purported division of National City Bank of Indiana, which ceased to exist by merger with National City Bank of Cleveland on July 22, 2006. She had originally negotiated her first mortgage loan with National City Mortgage Company, which went by the trade name of FNMC in the state of Maryland, where the loan was negotiated. When she was sued for foreclosure, after an issue arose whether or not she had defaulted, which has been litigated in state court and will be pending on appeal, no final judgment of foreclosure has been entered yet. Her contention is that her payment for October 2008 was refused. She initially responded to pleadings brought in the name of FNMC, a division of National City Bank of Indiana, admitting that that was to whom she had made the note and mortgage, but that entity no longer existed.
I understand how you can be a party to this case.
Your Honor, I indemnified...
You were ordered to pay any money.
Yes, Your Honor.
What are you doing here?
Your Honor, I had asked to be allowed to participate in these proceedings because I should indemnify my client for this type of...
That's voluntary on your part.
It is, Your Honor.
Then how can you be a party?
Well, I had briefed that issue and taken the position that if I could be held liable to my client, that I could have a third party claim to appear in this
you
matter.
You could be held liable to your client?
To my client, yes.
For what?
For taking the removal, Your Honor. So if the question is, was this a Rule 11 sanction? It's not really a sanction, it's a gratuitous award of attorney's fees to a party who sought to take an action to federal court when federal jurisdiction had appeared within the 30 days prior. That if you look at, I mean, if you look at 1447C, there's a word of just costs, which is discretionary. If you look at the requirements for removal at 28 U.S. Code 1447,
but there's always a possibility that as a result of some mistake committed by a lawyer representing a party, the lawyer would be subject to, you know, some kind of liability to the client. But that doesn't mean the lawyer can be a party to the litigation.
Well, Your Honor, I don't think that a mistake was made, and I wanted to make sure that Ms.
The point is, the fact that you said you might have to indemnify your client or something, the possibility that a lawyer might end up being punished or have some liability of some sort as a result of representation of a client, of a party in a lawsuit, doesn't mean that the lawyer can be a party. That's too remote. Then there would always be a lawyer party in a case.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm sure that Ms. Spencer would not mind if I withdrew my name as co-appellant, Your Honor. Full indemnification for the strategy in this case has already occurred by representation of her interest in continuing matters.
Okay, well thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Carrick?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I'm James Carrick. It's my privilege and honor to represent PNC Bank and National Association this morning before you on this case. There's one issue before this Court. It's a fee and cost award of $4,928.47. PNC believes the fee award was properly made because Spencer's attempted removal of this case 4 years after the case was initiated in Wood County Circuit Court in Wisconsin was objectively unreasonable. It was far too late, as the district court recognized, and at this stage in this appeal, it's significant that Spencer has abandoned four of the five grounds that she initially based subject matter jurisdiction on. One's left, section 28 U.S.C. 1349. That one that's left, she continues to ignore the plain statutory provision that would require Freddie Mac to be a party to this case in order for some type of right to removal to arise. PNC respectfully requests that this court affirm and further award fees related to this appeal. It's significant in the history and background of this case that this court have some appreciation for where we are. The district court recognized that there had been procedural feints employed by the defendant with respect to the handling of the foreclosure case. We believe this appeal is yet another procedural feint. The mortgage foreclosure action was commenced in 2009. It is alleged that there have been no payments since October of 2008. In July 2010, Ms. Spencer filed a Chapter 7 bankruptcy petition in the Western District of Wisconsin. PNC filed a motion for relief from stay. There was no objection by the defendant. It was granted, and they were allowed to proceed with the state court action. On January 5, 2012, the matter came up for a motion for summary judgment in Wood County. The defendant's attorney at that time, different counsel than Ms. Nora, requested an adjournment of 90 days for time to allow for discovery and to explore loan modification. On April 3rd, 2012, 2 days before that scheduled hearing on the summary judgment, which had been adjourned pursuant to Ms. Spencer's request, her counsel withdrew. No discovery was ever requested and has never been requested to date. There has not been one deposition requested by the defendant. There has not been one request for admission submitted by the defendant. There has not been one interrogatory submitted. The defendant has sought recusal of the circuit court judge, has accused the Wood County Circuit Court of manipulating transcripts, and filed a motion for contempt of discharge order back in the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Western District, claiming that the in rem foreclosure proceeding was a violation of the discharge order. All of those were dismissed. On January 10, 2013, again 4 years after the inception of the case, the removal of the case to the Western District of Wisconsin was filed. On the same date, the defendant filed a motion to reopen her Chapter 7 case. That motion was denied. There was a motion for reconsideration, an amended motion for reconsideration, which were both denied. There was an appeal of that bankruptcy court decision to the circuit court, which was affirmed in all respects. On July 20, 2013, Ms. Nora filed a motion to withdraw, which was granted on September 16, 2013 by Wood County. On October 16, 2013, the day before the matter was to come up for summary judgment hearing in Wood County, she filed a Chapter 13 case. That was dismissed by the Bankruptcy Court for the Western District after a full hearing on PNC's motion to dismiss or alternatively to lift stay. The motion for summary judgment did finally come up for hearing. It was granted by the Wood County Circuit Court We are awaiting a final rendition of the judgment, the written judgment, but summary judgment was granted on March 19. The only issue before the court is whether there's an objective basis, reasonably objective basis for removal. She abandoned four of the five grounds upon which she originally sought removal. Diversity, the corporate charter of Freddie Mac under section under 12 U.S.C. 1452F, federal question jurisdiction, and bankruptcy jurisdiction have all been abandoned. There was no objectively reasonable basis for any of those. And the one remaining claim, 28 U.S.C. 1349, only grants jurisdiction to the federal courts in civil actions by or against any corporation incorporated by or under an act of Congress if the United States owns more than one half its capital stock. If Freddie Mac fits into that category, this case could potentially be removable if Freddie Mac is a party. It's undisputed they're not a party. The defendant has never requested that they be a party. The analysis can end there, Your Honor. There
well,
is no...
to, because your time is...
Thank you, Your Honor, if there are no questions.
So, Ms. Knorr, I'll give you another minute, even though your time
is up. Thank you. These are 3 minutes for rebuttal, but I think I went over. I'm glad that we are addressing the issue of objective reasonableness, because it is not true that Ms. Spencer's removal was based on the Freddie Mac charter. The Freddie Mac charter was referred to in the removal in order to establish...
So what is your strongest ground for removal?
Strongest ground for removal is that there's a sham pleading that has been proceeding in Wood County Circuit Court to conceal the identity of the real party in interest. And I'd like to say that Mr. Carrig never mentions to any court that summary judgment was already taken against Ms. Spencer back in April of 2010, and it was vacated at the servicer for Freddie Mac's request because of an affidavit problem, which is clearly a misrepresentation under penalty of perjury that the party proceeding, which turns out to be PNC, was the owner and holder of the note. And that's how they took summary judgment. That's what's going up on appeal. And we thought that the federal court should consider how a servicer for Freddie Mac is handling matters, creating liability for the United States Treasury. Federal question, and it arises under 28 U.S. Code 1349 in the interests of the United States.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Counsel.